I know that sometimes it drives some folks nuts. I love talking about the Guardians and baseball and moves that they've made and moves that they didn't make and how things are working out. You've given me grief over the years. I truly love the process of trying to build a team. Whatever sport it is, I can follow that, and that's okay. Winning is a byproduct of that, hopefully, as far as I'm concerned. I hope they win, but I really follow teams and then watch what they do and how they do it, and I enjoy that a lot. And our Guardians have always done solid work in those areas. Sometimes you don't agree. Sometimes moves don't work as well as others. Sometimes they do. And this year, we've been able to complain about a lot of the moves they've made. But I also think there are some moves that have paid off. And we're going to divide some of these guys into two categories. The biggest gain this season, and I want your thoughts, Andy, Dano, you as well, and anybody who wants to join in, 216-474-0092. Biggest gain from guys who have been added to this team. And we're going to get to the biggest losses as well. But if you take a look at the roster, I think the guys you could arguably make a case for who, well, that was a good move. Or, I like what he's done. Looks like we have something there.
Okay.
And I'm not going to put him in any order. I'm just going to name him right now.
Okay.
There's Carlos Santana. There's Nolan Jones.
Do you want reaction or do you want...
I'm just going to give you some names first.
Okay, give me
Carlos, that. Nolan Jones, Slade Ciccone,
okay,
Paul Sewald, Jacob Junis. Who jumps out at you from that group? Guys that have been added to this team that you think, yeah, like that. That's pretty good.
So there's two things I see there. One, I have confidence in Santana when he goes to the plate compared to some of the other hitters we have. So he's, I think I said this earlier in the week, he's number three on my confidence factor list when it comes to having some kind of offensive influence in a game. So even though he is towards the end of his career, I think he's been, I was watching, even like last night, I was just watching little things and him and Jose at the end of the game just kind of being tight after they won. And I think he's been a great influence on the team. As much as it pains me, I think the two things that stick out is that and Slade Ciccone. Like, I think, and I've been talking about him since he came up, like, but if you watched him pitch the other night, and it was awesome. Awesome. The last couple starts he's had, he's looked good. So I think he's here. He's going to be here for a while, but I'm not getting to the other side of this, the losses, but we know that it took a major loss to get even both of those guys here. And a lot of people think that Santana's going to get traded. So it's mild at best when we talk about the wins that this team has as far as offensive gains.
I think you could mention Carlos Santana as a gain, but I also, and this is going to get to the other half of this, he's a gain because he's been okay, but he replaced a guy that he hasn't filled his spot. He's not been as good as Josh Naylor was last year. And we're going to get to Josh in a minute. So I have a hard time calling Carlos Santana a gain, even though he's new to this team and could be. Paul Sewald is a guy who I think is really a solid bullpen guy. And I thought that was a really good move by this team. Now, he's been injured, and that's a bit of a problem. And so you don't really have the full effect. And will he be here in the future? Maybe. I think he's got a two-year deal. He could be a guy you move. But, Andy, I think it's clear the biggest gain to this team so far, and it's weird because it might be a result of the biggest loss, maybe, is Slade Ciccone. First time I saw him pitch in a Guardians uniform, I thought, man, I like the way this guy throws the ball.
Yeah.
I like the way he competes. And I mentioned early on in the show, he attacks hitters.
He kind of looks like Chris Villar, too, our old friend Chris Villar.
Chris. He attacks guys, and I like that. And I think there's the potential that he could be here a real long time and be a member of this rotation. I'm not going to say be an ace of the staff, be the best pitcher on the team. I'm not going to say be an all-star, But I'm not going to rule that out.
Is it? Is
I think he's a member of the rotation for the next 5 or 6 years if he stays healthy.
I agree with that. So then is it a 2-for-1 on Naylor if you think about it that way? Can you look at it that way and say, especially financially, because Ciccone doesn't cost that much, that if you put together Santana and Ciccone for Naylor, can you look at it that way? And then is it more of a win or is it more of just, to me, it feels like a draw at this point. It just feels like a draw, except that Slade Ciccone gives you the option to be around for a really long time as a pitcher. We desperately miss Naylor's bat. I don't think there's any question on that.
Yeah, I have a hard time going 2-for-1 on that. But
can we ask Dan? Can you see it that way?
You could look at it that way.
Whatever helps you sleep at night.
All right, but can you see it?
Way
that
to go,
way?
Dan. Thanks.
Well, that's the way I would look at it. I mean, it feels like. Feels like an Andy Baskin special. And I mean, yeah. This is as nicely as humanly possible.
Life is a matter of perspective. Me and Larry David, we say this
mixed
all the time.
Yeah. That mixed with however your marketing department wants to spin it.
Yeah, it's true, too.
I mean, you
wouldn't have had Santana if you didn't trade Naylor.
Fertilizer sounds a lot better than fish droppings.
Fish?
I mean, that's kind of the thing. Fertilizer sounds a lot better than, you know. Sometimes marketing is what kicks in.
I still would have rather had Naylor than Santana. I think everybody would. I would have played Kyle Manzardo at first base.
Escargot sounds a lot classier than snails.
And they move faster, too.
Yeah, see? Yeah. I think that's really how I look at it. It's like, if you want to market it that way, market it that way.
Would you have played Manzardo over Santana? I mean, honestly, when they traded Naylor, didn't we all think, all right, you're clearing a spot for Kyle Manzardo?
I would have just moved Manzardo up and not even. I wouldn't have brought him in. I agree.
I wouldn't have either. Now, maybe it was to make some of the guys happy because Carlos is a beloved former teammate and everything else, and he's a pro. I mean, he does a nice job, but he's not the hitter he used to be. He's not bad. For what it's worth, Guardians first basemen this year are 23rd. In Major League Baseball in batting average. And the Arizona Diamondbacks are fourth. So you're missing that bat, clearly. But I do like Slade, and I think Slade could be a key part of this moving forward.
And let's not forget that trade isn't even over yet. That trade ends on Sunday when they pick someone at number 70. That's the end of it.
Compensatory pick?
The competitive balance round B.
Competitive balance, whatever.
Yes, a round B, yes.
All of these fun little names they throw out on all these
things. So whoever's name gets attached to 70 is now attached to that trade.
I'd like to say the biggest gain is Nolan Jones. Nolan hasn't shown that yet. However, he is moving in the right direction. Every month his batting average has gone up. I still, for the life of me, do not understand why they're platooning him. Find out if he can be a guy that you play every day. I'm so tired of the platoons in the outfield. It's silly. Why am I tired of the platoons in the outfield?
Jeff, why are you so tired of the platoons in the outfield the same way I am?
Yeah, Jeff, tell us why you're so tired about the platoons in the outfield.
The same way you are.
They have one guy in the outfield who they deem to be, you know, suitable to play every day, Stephen Kwan. They're right. And Dan pointed me in the right directions on Fangraphs.com to find all this fun little stuff. Guardians left fielders have the highest batting average in the major leagues among all left fielders. So that means Stephen Kwan. Stephen, thank you.
I mean, thank you, Stephen Kwan.
It's Stephen, period, right? He's the guy. Guardians center fielders.
Oh, no.
Center fielders.
Are you really doing this to us?
No, well, but this is where I just say, come on, play somebody. And in this case, let it be Nolan Jones. The center fielders have the 26th highest batting average among center fielders by team in the majors.
Oh, boy.
Guardian center fielders are hitting .212.
Let me check on the that's not good.
.212.
The on-base slugging and defensive prowess have also been in the toilet.
Are you ready?
What's our war in center field?
I can get you that answer if you'd like.
I really don't want it.
They can definitely get you that answer. It's right. I got it right here in front of me. I'll look it up.
What's below?
Andy, are you sitting?
What's it called when it's below? If it's war, it's
negative.
Above.
Andy, are you sitting?
Thanks. Yeah.
You needed that.
Guardians right fielders.
Oh no! Why are you doing this?
Are hitting
and this is why. Just play Nolan Jones and let him go. He's trending appropriately. He's going in the right direction. Guardians right fielders
0.0 190
dead last in Major League Baseball, and the WAR for Guardian center fielders, if you want it, Andy, is 29th in baseball. That's for center field.
That's negative, isn't it?
That was center.
It is negative.
It's negative.
Yeah.
Which means that whatever you're throwing out there is far worse than any replacement level player.
And so what right you're fielders, is, yeah. 29th. It's also negative.
It's why your chase the ladder argument can only yell louder and louder and louder and louder.
And to me, it's also why, and I know Nolan Jones has been part of that batting average at both center and right. That's why you play him, because he's moving in the right direction. So he might be a gain down the road. Clearly, we think the best addition to this team, Slade Ciccone, so far. And that doesn't maybe make up for everything you've given up this year. Their biggest losses this year, moves that might not have worked. And I have one that we're not really thinking about too much, and I think we should, and we will next on Baskin and Phelps. Guys who have been added to this team who might be the guys who have contributed the most. And the guy we came up with, Slade Ciccone, who looks like a keeper for the starting rotation. And I like that. Andy, it goes back to this organization being able to pinpoint pitchers in other organizations and go get them. They have a history of it. I mean, they did it with Clevinger when Mike came in here and was pretty good for a while. Certainly did it with Corey Kluber. Did it with Emmanuel Clase. They're great at it. And I give them a ton of credit, and it looks like they have found another guy there with Slade Ciccone, which is great, good for him. That's the way to go. The other side of that is, okay.
Toilets!
Nice. Though he may be the guy that is the best addition to the team, is it because of the most painful subtraction to the team? And let me give you some names of guys that were here last year who aren't here now. And I think there are some that really, really hurt you a little bit. Josh Naylor, which, of course, is the Ciccone move.
Josh, you're hitting Andres 296 Jimenez. With 11 home runs and 58 RBI. Well.
Andres Jimenez.
Your OPS is...
Tyler Freeman.
22. You're going too through.
Easy.
Too
fast. I'm not trying to be a smart guy here.
I am.
I'm gonna going to count Ben Lively as a loss because, you know, though he was, you know, he was hurt this year and he's out for the year. Pedro Avila and Matthew Boyd, who, by the way, is a National League All-Star. He's going to the All-Star game. Guardians had him here. He loved it here. They didn't want to give him the big contract that Chicago did to keep him. Matthew Boyd is, as Stephen Vogt said, here's what kind of a guy Matthew Boyd is. He called me to apologize that he was signing with Chicago.
Oh, man.
Who's the biggest loss?
Is Matthew Boyd the Joe Flacco of...
No, because Matthew Boyd...
Who had more games, Flacco or Boyd?
Matthew Boyd, Boyd did. Actually, 8 starts in the regular season and 3 in the post.
And would Joe end up with 7?
5.
Oh, it was only
in the
5.
Regular season and 1 in the post.
So 6.
It didn't go very well.
I don't know. Hang on a second. Boyd, how many interceptions did Boyd have in the playoffs?
I don't know if Flacco's going to get Cy Young Award votes.
Clearly, Josh Naylor is a huge loss.
I would. That I think our fans would
vote. That bat out of the middle of the lineup kills you. It's been noticed. It's been missing. It's hurt the team. Fair to say, though, that...
Yeah, I'm having trouble with the Boyd part of this. It was just, that was so quick. I didn't even realize...
Yeah, but he was really good here last year. He's one of the reasons you made the postseason.
Yeah, I know.
What do you mean? An all-star pitcher with another team.
Yeah, I know, but I don't feel
he
like
was
he was
here
ever...
last year, and he's going to be pitching for the National League in the all-star game.
But I don't feel like he was ever really ours. I'm sorry.
He was.
Dan?
He came to the pitching factory. They polished him up. They spit him out. And he looked good.
What have I told you since we've met? I'm never going to tell you how to feel.
Yeah, I know. You got to tell me how to feel on this.
Not going
to
tell you how to feel.
How do you feel about that?
I think the guards brought a guy in. They got him right. And another team decided to come in and give him more money than the guards wanted to do it.
It's funny. I feel like that story just continues to happen over and over. Am I wrong?
I give him all the credit. He's been awesome. I did not think Matthew Boyd had it in him, and he does.
Apparently, you did not. Awesome. You were the anti-Boyder.
Yeah, I was, and I was very wrong. And hey, man, good for him. Keep proving me wrong. More good pitchers equals more good baseball.
Can I ask you a question?
No, not after today's show. Okay, what is?
I'm probably going to factor more into this than I should. I think clearly when we just look at numbers, the biggest loss for this team this year, as we're sitting here close to the All-Star break, is Josh Naylor and the offense that he brought to the team. However, you did get Slade Ciccone for him, who looks like a real keeper. And by not having Josh here, you reallocated that money that you would have had to have paid him, added a little bit more to it, and brought in a competent player at first base in Carlos Santana, even though you could have played Kyle Manzardo and saved the money and spent it elsewhere, blah, 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 maybe on an outfielder. Regardless, you have Carlos here because Josh isn't, and you have Slade Ciccone. Now, here's where you might have to stick with me.
Okay.
Is Andrés Giménez not being here an even bigger loss than Josh Naylor not being here? And I know Andrés hasn't hit very well for the Toronto Blue Jays. I know he was miserable earlier in the season. He's warmed up a little bit. But Guardians second basemen this year are hitting .224, 23rd in Major League Baseball. And I think the big part of the reason they're even hitting that well is because Daniel Schneeman has had some really good moments. Is Giménez an even bigger loss than Josh Naylor? I don't think so. But because of the return, and the return for Naylor is contributing, Slade Ciccone and Carlos Santana, who's filled in for him, the return for Andrés Giménez has been suspended indefinitely or is on whatever it is he's on. That's all you got that in a minor leaguer. You got Luis Ortiz in a minor leaguer. And you gave up the best defensive second baseman, and maybe the best defensive player in the game, in Andrés Giménez, because, and I get this, his contract was getting ready to explode, and the Blue Jays are going to be paying him way too much for a glove. And just for a guy who has a great glove, his contract's over 20 mil. That's too much for a guy just to play good D. But still, is that the biggest loss this team has suffered? I don't think we've really thought about that very much, and I think it deserves to be thought about.
I'm starting, you know, what we're not talking about, too, and especially when you look at Giménez, is I think he has two errors all season.
Well, he's phenomenal. I mean, Andy, he's as good as Robbie Alomar, if not better, at second base. And Robbie just kept, you know, raking in gold gloves. Of course, Robbie could hit.
I'm good. He can make that trade any day.
You didn't get anything for him.
I'm good. He can make that trade any day.
Because
let's be real.
Because you didn't. Because and I'm not arguing this point. Because I was a big Andrés Giménez fan. He did not hit very well. He's not hitting very well now. But you got nothing in return for him. You did get his salary off the books. But you get nothing in return because Luis Ortiz is no longer with us because perhaps he did or perhaps he didn't. They're going to figure it out. But maybe he did something that causes him not to be able to play baseball anymore.
It feels like one of those things that we're going to look at 5 years from now, depending on what happens. If this goes a direction that is bad, it's one of those things that we're going to look at and go, your process that you use to get to this point is a really good process. You just got a really bad outcome. I mean, that's how I look at the Luis Ortiz thing. Is their process was really good.
I liked him.
Right. You understood exactly why they went and targeted him.
Everything
he threw moved. Everything. And they were changing the pitch mix around, and he was starting to look really good after having a rocky start of the season. Your process made sense. Your outcome, on the other hand, is going to be one of those that is going to be held over your head. And I don't totally know how to look at that and process it and do everything with it, but like I can't hold it against Antonetti and Chernoff because they got a guy who may or may not, we will have an investigation find out, but if it goes a direction that we think it may go, made one of the dumbest decisions you could possibly make and one of the most short-sighted decisions you could possibly make.
You ready to make me feel...
And I can't scream at an organization for that.
Feel bad? You ready?
Yeah, go for it.
Andrés Giménez can't hit, correct?
Yeah.
Not a good hitter. He's hitting .218, which should make him the eighth best batting average on the team and better than any second baseman.
He also doesn't walk. He doesn't hit for power either.
I know, but he's got a great glove.
I don't need more guys who don't hit, don't walk, and don't hit for power.
I know.
He's a delightful person.
Angel Martinez has a better batting average, but is he more center fielder or second baseman? You make the call on that. I just wonder. I think Josh Naylor's loss is the biggest.
I do.
But, man, you've got a spot at second base that you hope Travis Bezzana is going to fill. I say that only because he's injured and we haven't been able to see him. I'm pretty sure, you're pretty sure, we're all pretty sure he's going to be the second baseman on this team by the All-Star break next year.
I mean, if you had a crystal ball and you knew Bezzana was going to get hurt, do you figure out a way to...
No, you still make that trade because you got out of the contract.
All right.
I agree with what Dan said.
Having a Gold Glove second baseman is a really, really, really nice thing to have.
And if he can hit, great. But
it's not the reason that I'm, you know, in a better position to win the World
Series. You're right. Looking up errors at second base. They really haven't had that many.
It's not even errors. I mean, that guy gets the balls that most second
That's
baseman.
A good point, too. Yeah, to kind of look at it that way. But the fielding has been so shoddy this year.
He's a vacuum cleaner.
I just feel like defensively we went completely backwards.
Yeah, but that's not the reason you're dropping games. I mean, okay.
Well, you lost on Sunday because of it.
Is it contributing a little bit? Sure. But the fact that you can't hit water if you fell out of a boat has more to do with it than the lack of
gloves. Exactly right.
I think there's a momentum thing to that, too. Like, when guys start making mistakes, it bleeds through the field. It bleeds through the clubhouse. I mean, and it's. I just think people – then guys start playing tight because other guys are making error. They're like, oh, man, I hope I don't make an error. And it's just – it's a mental thing you don't want in anybody's head. And when you have a team that's fielding poorly – it can be contagious. I'm not saying that I have any statistical analysis on this.
It hit a point.
I'm just saying it's common. I just think it's a little bit more of just the psychology of the game.
Put it this way. It's a crack in the dam that probably needed to be fixed. But there's a gaping hole on the right. And that's where everybody's focus is. Yes, what you were saying is a hole.
Again, we talked
all
day. It's
a crack in the dam.
No one's talked about we're like one of the three worst teams or four worst teams in baseball when it comes to fielding.
I could hand these guys a boat oar a week ago and they still couldn't make contact. Like,
which, by the way, if you hit a baseball with a boat oar, it's not going anywhere anyway, Dan.
Well, maybe you just need a bunt. Maybe it's a squeeze play.
An implement of a larger... Why do I talk to people? Just go sit in the back.
So are we in agreement? The Naylor absence is the biggest, even though... So in other words, your best gain came from your biggest loss. Slade Ciccone.
Your two best game. I think your two best gains.
Yeah, Santana. So maybe that's a trade that works for both teams? I don't know.
It softens the blow just a little bit, but it's very hard to look at our lineup and not look at Josh Naylor and go, bah, he's hitting .299. You know, you think they couldn't have used him this year? He's seeing different pitching, Andy. Oh, okay. Well, their schedules worked out differently.
Will you agree with this? His body build and weight and everything else about, you know, the way he's built, it doesn't give you a ton of confidence that he's going to be healthy for an extended period of time. However, this year that he has been healthy. And he's played in a lot of games for Arizona. And he's hit for Arizona.
He's
hit for power, and he's driving in runs.
And then I use this as my reference point. Ready? CeCe Sabathia was overweight. He was too big.
By his own admission?
Yeah. And then he lost all that weight.
And?
He wasn't anywhere near the pitcher he was when he was heavier.
So?
He put the weight back on a little bit. I mean, he looks great now.
And he was real skinny when he went into Cooperstown.
Yeah, and so to end his career, though, he put some of that weight back on, and it made a difference. So I don't know. Baseball's a funny game. It used to be the game you really, like, did you have to be in shape to play first base in Major League Baseball if you're the strong and you can hit the ball out of the park? Probably not, especially if you had a really good, you know, vacuum guy at second. So Baseball is always, the guys are in shape now way better than they ever were, you know, I don't know,
yeah,
10, 15 years ago, even more than that. And you know, just so I'll give them that. But
the one problem I have,
if there's a sport where you might be able to get away with it and be considered the greatest, like Babe Ruth, maybe you didn't have to be in. I know, dead ball. I know. It was a long time.
There's no dead ball when Babe Ruth.
I know. I'm just saying.
The one problem that I have in my thought process when it comes to the process and building the team and seeing how they go, take a look around the position players on this team. How many position players are any of us sold on that, yeah, they have somebody there? It's two spots. And I don't mean for right now. I mean, think 2-3 years down the road. Who do you have that you think, yep, you're good there? Still only two spots. You know, you hope for Bo Naylor. You hope for Kyle Manzardo. You hope for Rocchio. But that's all you have right now on almost all of these position players is hope that they become something this year and in the years ahead.